What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, socially distancing alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Fabs, how are we living right now?
I don't even know what to say, man. It is what it is, dude. I mean, and until April 30th, and I feel like at maybe least. That's optimistic projection at this point. I mean, I'm like, you know, trying to stay home as much as possible and trying to get outside from time to time so I don't lose my mind. I think Everyone's sort of in the same boat. So
yeah, no, I agree. I think we're all sort of living this new world, trying to figure out everything. I don't know. It's I feel like every day, you know, you try to find things to kind of keep you upbeat, keep you going. But yeah, it's new, it's different, it's strange.
And it sucks.
I don't really know what to say beyond that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so we're still here trying to keep you guys occupied, keep you distracted as much as possible as we march on toward draft season. Now that we've kind of gone through free agency for the most part, we've done winners and losers. Fabs, you did a one-man, five-round mock. We'll kind of go through some of that today. I will quiz you. I will ask you your thoughts on why you did what you did. We can kind of talk about that as well. And I don't know, we'll try to have some fun about the fact that we're still all separated because of this whole coronavirus thing. But before we do that, let's talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's new with you?
Yeah, kind of like what Fab was saying, it's the thing where every day you wake up and you're like, all right, how am I going to attack this day? What am I going to do that's different? But I know like the weather's a little bit better or going to get better for us, at least here in Los Angeles. I know we're still one of the, I guess, a place where, you know, the governor and the mayor have been speaking pretty much daily and saying how, you know, our worst cases aren't going to show up until the end of April. So it's not what you want to hear. But, you know, because I know you have your birthday coming up and my birthday is in May as well. You want to start to get back in track in life and do some stuff. But, you know, I still try to find the positive. So it's like, all right, we'll go outside and, you know, go for a jog and in a neighborhood you never jog through and see new things or go watch a new show on TV, watch a documentary, learn something. Like, I don't know, each day try to read a book, try to do something that you have not already done. And, you know, but it's tough. It's been about 2 weeks for us. So it's, you know, it's painful, I guess, but there are a lot of worse things going on. So I guess we're pretty fortunate.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, you know, like I said, hopefully what we do here for the next half hour or so kind of keeps the spirits up a little bit. So that's what we're going to try to do. So, all right, enough of that. Let's do some news.
Let's do the news.
Well, the first thing is Philip Lindsay says he's, quote, going to battle with Melvin Gordon for the starting role in Denver. I mean, Fabs, we all assume that Melvin Gordon's going to be the starter there. I mean, do you think Lindsay has a shot at this? Or, I mean, I feel like worst case scenario, we end up in a weird committee that's not going to do anybody any good.
Yeah, when the signing happened, I think we all sort of agreed this kind of sucks for Melvin Gordon. And then there was reports out there, I think our James Palmer had said that, you know, Gordon's going to be the bell cow. But I don't know how much I believe that. Number one, it's March, almost April. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be OTAs. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It's such an unprecedented sort of time for sports, with the NFL included. But I can't see a scenario where Melvin Gordon's the bell cow. I just can't. Like, Philip Lindsay's a good back. He's a really good back. I mean, in his rookie year, he was one of the top waiver wire ads in fantasy football. Mm-hmm. And he showed that he can take it to the house anytime he touches it. So I still feel like maybe it's going to be like a committee situation where Melvin Gordon's the lead guy in that committee. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me that Philip Lindsay's not going to affect his fantasy value. And now he's even more motivated because the Broncos went out and signed a guy like Gordon to ultimately take his job away.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I don't want to make a one-to-one comparison, but sort of in terms of usage, I feel like it could be sort of what we saw with the Saints a couple years ago with Kamara and Mark Ingram there, where those guys both got on the field quite a bit. And I know that I'm talking about guys who are different players and different styles, but I'm thinking just in terms of their on-field time and how they get used, you know, which means you need one of those guys, preferably Melvin Gordon, I guess, to kind of have a lot of touchdown upside. Because if they're both splitting time like this and neither one of them are scoring touchdown or they're splitting those goal line carries, that's going to be super frustrating.
I feel like. And I said it last week, too. It's like, OK, Are they going to go two series for Gordon, one series for Lindsey? Is that series with Lindsey an opportunity to get into the end zone and Gordon stays on the sidelines? I mean, in this one-man mock we're going to talk about, I mean, I have Gordon as a fifth-round pick, and I don't know that I feel comfortable drafting him any higher than that. Maybe end of the fourth if you're in a 12-team league, but to me, it's just so uncertain right now. Gordon will lead that backfield in touches, but you can't tell me that Lindsey's not going to see enough work where it's going to affect Gordon's ceiling.
Yeah,
you can't convince me.
I agree. I completely agree with that. Down to Miami, Jordan Howard says his shoulder is 100%. That seems like good news, Fabs. I mean, I guess we're just still waiting to see who they add, because there's no way they go into the season with just Jordan Howard as their running back
there. Yeah, no doubt. And I had said this too, that we could end up being stuck in a Philadelphia situation in South Beach, because last year it was Miles Sanders. And you remember, there was a good stretch of the season where Jordan Howard was the better fantasy back, and Sanders was maybe a flex at best. Mm-hmm. And then down the stretch, there was a four-game stretch there where Jordan Howard missed games and Miles Sanders was averaging almost 20 points a game. So is it the same scenario in Miami? Do they have three picks in the first round. Is one of them a running back? A lot of questions to be asked. But I know one thing. They are adding a running back in the draft. There's no doubt about that. It just depends on where they add that running back, what kind of an impact that running back can make. And is he going to be a compliment to Jordan Howard? Is he going to be a guy who's going to compete with him for the starting role? Because Howard has that starting role right now, but it may be short-lived.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. Jordan Howard is still a good running back. He has the unfortunate side effect of not catching the football a whole lot, which sort of hurts his value long-term in today's NFL. My hope is that whoever they draft, Howard is still another guy who gets goal line work, and that sort of keeps him afloat a little
bit. That could be a scenario where he still potentially has some flex starter value. But again, if the Dolphins draft somebody like DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor, you know, that's going to torpedo Jordan Howard's fantasy value and really vice versa. But then if they decide they're going to go after maybe like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's more of like a pass catcher, could be a compliment, then you could be looking at a committee. Time will tell.
All right. A report from Ed Bouchette, longtime Steelers beat writer, suggests that he believes strongly that the Steelers are going to draft a running back. You got James Conner in a contract year. He also has had his injury issues over the last couple of seasons. Beyond that, we saw last year the Steelers really struggled to generate a consistent running game. We'll talk about your mock draft in just a little bit, but does this make you concerned at all for what James Conner's future could be there in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, because they have Benny Snell, they have Jalen Samuel, and now they're going to add somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Conner, as great as he was the two seasons ago, I mean, and you know, I hate to take, you know, digs at a guy's health, because he survived cancer, and God bless him for that. But he hasn't been durable. And so the Steelers saw that last season. And that was, again, even though they were in playoff contention, I mean, with all the injuries that team dealt with, it was a miracle that they were still in contention. But Conner, I feel like he's lost a little bit of the confidence in the franchise in terms of, can he go out there and give us 14 games where he's in the 18 to 22 touch category? I don't know if he can do that. And the Steelers clearly don't know if he can do that. So if they go out and draft a running back, I feel like Connor's still going to be the guy at the top of the depth chart. But could this end up being a committee situation? That's a possibility. And you know, you could see Connor's time in Pittsburgh, you know, coming to an end sooner rather than later, especially based off of what we saw a couple of seasons ago. We were thinking, oh, man, you put any running back in that Pittsburgh offense and he's going to go nuts. Well, I mean,
maybe not.
Got to be durable as well.
Yeah, the thing about the Steelers do not have a first round pick. Their first pick in the draft is 49 overall. That's about midway through the second round. After that, they are late in the third round. So if they're going to do it, I would guess, I mean, maybe they do it in the third. Maybe they decide to spend that second round pick, but it's not going to be a very high pick for the Steelers to take a running back there. Mm-hmm. The Packers signed Devin Funchess to a 1-year deal. I don't know what to say about this other than he's a big body potentially near the goal line. I mean, other than that, I mean, he missed essentially all of last year with an injury in Indianapolis. Fabs, that's all I got, right? He's just a big body near the goal line for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ho-hum, to be honest. I get it. Obviously, you know, we're going to talk about Geronimo Allison, two completely different players there between Funchess and Geronimo Allison. But you're right. he could potentially see some opportunities in the red zone. Remember at Michigan, if memory serves me, he played tight end too.
He did.
He's a big dude, so he could. Jimmy Graham's gone. I don't know what they're going to do at tight end. You know, Jay Sternberger is still there. We'll see. There's a lot of people out there who love him, but I don't. Green Bay needs to add a field stretcher to complement Davante Adams, which they really don't have at this point. And maybe they're going to add that in the draft. We'll see. Right now, Funchess to me is not draftable in most leagues.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, I just saw it and I was sort of I was like, eh, all right, doesn't really do.
Remember
much.
When Devin Funchess was a thing?
Yes.
It didn't it didn't last very long, but he was a thing.
I thought last year that, you know, signing with the Colts was, I thought it was decent because one, they didn't pay him a whole lot. It was sort of a prove it deal for Funchess. And I'm like, okay, look, he can get a few targets. He can be a red zone threat. You know, like again, I didn't think he would have been a end of draft kind of depth add for me in a lot of leagues. And obviously it just didn't work out because of the injuries. Now we're a year removed from that. I don't know. I don't have the same level of optimism for Devin Funchess in Green Bay.
None of us do.
So Devin Funchess comes to Green Bay. Geronimo Allison leaves Green Bay. He stays in the division. He goes to the Detroit Lions, a 1-year deal for $1 million. I mean, look, man, they still got Kenny Galladay. They still have Marvin Jones. Maybe he's a guy who kind of tries to stretch the field a little bit, but this is another one that just doesn't really do much for me right now.
Yeah, and Marvin Jones is talking about wanting to score 15 touchdowns. And right. Owner, I'm like, hell yeah, I love that, man. That means good things for him and good things for Matt Stafford, but they also have Danny Amendola in the mix as well, TJ Hockenson. A lot of mouths to feed. I mean, right now he's like, what, their fourth wide receiver at best. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that he's draftable in fantasy as well.
All right, well, back here in Los Angeles, Tyrod Taylor says he wants to, quote, turn heads as the Chargers' starting quarterback. I mean, Phillip Rivers has gone to Indianapolis. Right now, Tyrod is essentially the only quarterback on the depth chart. I love Tyrod. I like watching him play. I want good things for him. But I'm struggling, Fabs, to believe that he is going to be the unchallenged quarterback for the Chargers going into this season.
Well, chances are he's going to be challenged by a rookie. That would be my premise. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tyrod Taylor, he's had some glimpses, right? Mm-hmm. When he was in Buffalo, he was a pretty good fantasy quarterback for a little bit because of his abilities as a runner, which is really what's, you know, what helps him be valuable from a fantasy perspective. So he's got a lot of weapons in L.A. I mean, you've got Keenan Allen, you've got Hunter Henry, you've got Mike Williams, you've got Austin Eckler in the backfield there, Justin Jackson, maybe they're going to add somebody. Time will tell, but the weapons are there. I don't know that Tyrod's going to get drafted in 10-team leagues. If he's the starter, I would suggest that he's probably going to end up being more of a deep league guy, maybe a matchup-based starter, DFS sort of option. But he is not – even if he opens the season as the starter, there will be another quarterback on that roster who fans are going to want to see. It's going to be a rookie. I don't know if it's going to be Justin Herbert. I don't know who – maybe Jordan Love. I don't know who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be somebody there. And if the Chargers falter at some point during the season, you are going to see Tyrod Taylor removed from the starting role and the rookie coming in. And that's why I feel like the Chargers aren't really in on Cam Newton or, you know, any of the other quarterbacks.
They want to draft somebody.
They want to draft somebody. And, like, Cam Newton's not going to be a bridge. Like, next year in 2021, the Chargers starting quarterback is going to be whoever the hell they draft in April. So, and as much as you want to say, well, do the Chargers really want to go into a new stadium with Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback? They're not going to put butts in the seats. Were they going to put butts in the seats?
I mean, like,
unless Tom Brady was their quarterback, they're not putting butts in the seats.
That has sort of been my argument this whole time is that, look, man, I mean, the three of us live in Los Angeles, right? We sort of know how the sports scene operates here, right? Star power doesn't necessarily bring people in. I mean, a little bit, right? I mean, you get a LeBron James. I mean, you're talking about next level. So maybe Tom Brady does something like that. But beyond that, I mean, we live in LA. Like, you can see celebrities everywhere. I was walking down, you know, Abbot Kinney in Venice, and I saw Walton Goggins. You know, like, you see celebrities in a lot of places. So that doesn't necessarily drive.
Is it bad that fans. I don't know who that is?
I'm trying to think. Let's see. Did you watch The Righteous Gemstones?
Just gonna say that.
No, sir.
Hateful Eight.
No, I didn't.
Hateful Eight, yeah. I mean, you've seen his face, basically.
Okay, right?
He's a guy you've seen. You might not know the name. Anyway, but the point is, it takes a lot more than just a decent-sized name to bring fans out, right? Like, you got to win. And so for the Chargers, you're right. I think short of Tom Brady, I don't know that anybody's going to really draw that much excitement. I will say this for Tyrod. in a world that we now live in, where we are looking for quarterbacks who run, Tyrod does do that well. I mean, in three seasons in Buffalo, I mean, he had a combined 1,500 rushing yards and 14 touchdowns. That was 2015, 2016, 2017 when he was their starter, their full-time starter. I mean, 1,500, almost 1,600 rushing yards in three seasons. That ain't bad with 14 touchdowns. So if he does somehow...
He rushed for six touchdowns in 2016. Like, yeah. You know, that, and over almost 600 yards. So
yeah. So, I mean, if he does end up with the starting job there in L.A., there's at least... some reason there's a silver lining there for him. I'll say that. Yep. So there you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
Well, that was the news.
Well, one man, five round mock, easy for me to say. You do these every now and then, Fabs. You just posted one, came out this past Friday. For folks who want to check out the whole thing, they can go to NFL.com/Fabiano. We'll go through some of the highlights, kind of pick through the first three rounds or so. If there's anything beyond that, you can certainly jump in and let me know. But I wanted to start kind of at the top, obviously, round one. Christian McCaffrey is your 1.01. Not a big surprise. I'm just wondering, did you give any thought to someone else potentially at that spot?
Saquon, but no. I mean, yeah, it was McCaffrey. You're coming off of a guy who had the second best fantasy season ever. Mm-hmm. Like, and Cam Newton no longer being there is not gonna affect his value, because we don't have to worry about Cam stealing goal line opportunities, touchdown opportunities. Now you have Teddy Bridgewater in the mix there. Bridgewater is going to certainly be looking for McCaffrey as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So while you've got to expect some level of regression, Marcus, right? Like, he's right. Not going to have, right, you know, friggin' 471 fantasy points again. The opportunities are going to be there. And, I mean, the dude proved last season he's a playmaker. So he's certainly worth that first-round pick. I feel like he's going to end up being consensus, probably drafted number one overall in about 80% of leagues, and Saquon maybe becomes that de facto number two.
The one thing I will take away from Christian McCaffrey's season last year is the week 11 game against Atlanta, where the Panthers actually got smoked, but mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey scored 30 fantasy points without scoring a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, that sort of tells you.
He's unbelievable. Right.
That tells you what
that's what happens when you're
like
in PPR leagues and you're running back and catch eight balls out of
right.
the backfield.
Right. I mean, that's what it tells you a little bit about what his season was. That's a thing that I will always remember. You know, and I remember watching that game and we're like, what is going on? Like, why isn't McCaffrey doing anything? Like, get in the end zone. And then all of a sudden at the end of the day, you look up and he's got 30 fantasy points. And you're like, oh, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Austin Eckler sneaks into the back end of the first round. Now, obviously, he is the running back of record there in Los Angeles with no more Melvin Gordon. He was incredibly efficient, especially when it comes to like his yards after the catch and catching the football. Any concerns that maybe he has a little bit of a regression?
No, because so I looked at his numbers from week five on. Mm-hmm. In the first four games without Melvin, he was sick. He was averaging like 26 points a game, 27 points a game. That's not sustainable. From week five to the rest of the season, he averaged right around 17 fantasy points per game. Very sustainable. In fact, he was right there with Leonard Fournette. He was in the top 10 among running backs in mm-hmm. points per game average from week five on. I think that's very sustainable. And now there's no Melvin Gordon. And Justin Jackson is the backup. And maybe they're going to add a running back. That's very possible. But considering that he did this with basically no rushing yards either. Let's mm-hmm. keep that in mind. Right. I believe he had the highest finish of any running back in fantasy football history with so few rushing yards.
Right.
He's just that good. And oh, by the way, we got to interview him a few weeks ago. He seems like an awesome guy. So like, he's a dude I want to root for. So I say he's top 10 in this draft.
All right. Let's see. Moving on to round two. You got Chris Godwin. This kind of surprised me a little bit. Chris Godwin midway. He's like the fifth pick in the second round. Are we shortchanging him a little bit? Should he be higher, you think?
It's personal preference, because okay. I have Tyreek Hill ranked higher. Mm-hmm. And I have Julio Jones ranked higher. And okay. I have Tyreek Hill ranked higher because I feel like last year was a disappointing season. Remember, he didn't play the whole 11 of games. He was, I believe, he missed four games. And he's got Patrick Mahomes throwing him the football. One of the most explosive offenses, if not the most explosive offense in the entire league. And I think he will bounce back to the sort of numbers that he produced in the previous couple of years. Julio Jones, I moved ahead of Godwin because Austin Hooper's gone. So I would feel like maybe that means a few more targets for Julio Jones. He might move down. He might move up. Again, we're in the end of March here. So Godwin in the middle of the second round fits for me. I get it. He averaged the second most fantasy points per game among wide receivers last year. He was tremendous, okay? And I don't feel like Tom Brady's presence brings either Evans or Godwin up or down. I feel like they are still both top eight fantasy wide receivers. But here's the caveat. Jameis threw so many interceptions last year. The Buccaneers had to throw the football so much that could have inflated some of the numbers.
Right.
Somewhat. And if they're in a situation now where Tom Brady is running the offense efficiently, he's not going to turn the ball over a ton. Maybe Godwin doesn't see the gaudy numbers that he had. And he had some weeks where he was amazing, and then he had some weeks where we were like, where's Chris Godwin? Right. So I feel like I like Godwin a hell of a lot. I was on his bandwagon last year, as many of us were. But I have Julio and Tyreek. I moved those two guys ahead of him at this point at the wide receiver position. And I mean, middle of the second round, still pretty solid.
Yeah. I will say this. I do agree with your point, though, about, you know, if Brady is more efficient, that's going to impact what happens with Godwin's targets. I mean, I think that was kind of the one takeaway, that, you know, Jameis threw the ball a ton because Jameis threw the ball to the wrong team a lot, so they were playing from behind. So that is a thing I definitely agree with. Mm-hmm. Aaron Jones behind Nick Chubb. And I kind of go two ways on this, right? Like, on the one hand, Aaron Jones feels like a definite touchdown regression candidate because of what he did last year.
That guaranteed.
But the other hand, like, we talked last week about Nick Chubb having to split opportunities with Kareem Hunt. So I sort of go back and forth on that one there. Yeah, you've got Jones behind Chubb right now.
That's a tough one, right? And they're basically back-to-back. And so here's the thought process behind that. Chubb, I feel like, is going to end up being as good, if not a little bit better, than he was from a points per game average in the second half of the season when Kareem Hunt was inserted into that offense. But Aaron Jones, like, would you be surprised if Aaron Jones had 10 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns in 2020?
Which is still a really good number.
It's still a good number, but I mean, he had 19, right? Right. He rushed for 16 touchdowns. Like, it doesn't happen. I'll compare it to D'Angelo Williams, who I love, who's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. You remember the year D'Angelo went bananas and he had like 20 touchdowns?
Right.
That number dropped significantly the following season. Mm-hmm. It is really hard to follow up a season like that and score anywhere near the same amount of touchdowns. And we still have Jamal Williams in the mix. And, you know, you still hear the Packers could end up drafting another running back. I don't know why the hell they would do that, but you still hear that kind of thing. And I love Aaron Jones. You know, I think we were all on that bandwagon last season. It's time to free Aaron Jones. Get him out there. Make him a featured back. But Jamal Williams is still in the mix. And if you believe touchdown regression is real, which it is real, my friends, if Aaron Jones rushes for the same amount of yards and gives you 10 touchdowns, do the math.
That's a big drop off. Okay? That's a big drop off.
Do the math. That's a huge drop off. That's a huge drop off. So, heck, things might change in the next few weeks and months to come, and I may move Jones up. Time will tell. But right now, I'd rather have Nick Chubb, but it's very close.
So I will give you a theory on why the Packers may draft a running back, and it's basically because after this season, Aaron Jones is a free agent, and we have seen that nowadays teams just aren't giving big contracts or not giving big second contracts to running backs. So the Packers may be willing to try and find somebody new and let Aaron Jones walk, because that's just how teams operate now. So
right.
Third round. Lamar Jackson, you got as the fourth pick in the third round.
Shocked at this or what?
Well, I was shocked at it mostly because, look, I know that you and I and a lot of these sharps aren't going to draft Lamar Jackson, certainly not there. But I feel like ADP-wise, like, when the masses start to draft, that number is going to be low. Like, I feel like people are going to look at what Lamar Jackson did last year, and he may end up being a second-round pick, I feel like, in a lot of leagues.
Dude, he's going to be a first-round pick in home leagues.
There's
doubt about it.
You're probably right.
But, I mean, Marcus, we have to learn from the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Mike Vick had that sixth season in Philadelphia? Next season, regression. Patrick Mahomes had the best fantasy season of all time. And he was good last year. He averaged over 20 fantasy points a game. Mm-hmm. But his numbers regressed. And, you know, he missed some time, too, due to injuries. Mm. Lamar Jackson's not going to do what he did last season again. He's not. Right. Like, right. I mean, if you jumped in the DeLorean and went 88 miles per hour and looked at the 2020 season, came back and told me Lamar Jackson was going to be the fourth best quarterback in fantasy this season, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not surprised, because it's hard. it's hard and it's a super deep position.
Right.
And as talented as he is, and he's great, I'm never going to get him in any fantasy leagues ever again at this point. But like, you have to, when you look at players and you look at the magical season, and you've been around me long enough to know, Lamar Jackson's never going to have a better season statistically than he had last year. Patrick Mahomes is never going to have a better season statistically than he had two seasons ago. Aaron Jones is probably never going to have more touchdowns in his career in a single season than he did last season. You have to look at that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bob Harris, our pal over at SiriusXM, what does he always say?
No, don't draft last year's best team.
Exactly. Lamar Jackson's going to be great. He's very likely going to be a top three fantasy quarterback when all is said and done in 2020. But you can't look at the numbers he posted last year and expect to have anywhere near that. He'll be damn good. He'll be great. Mm-hmm. But the numbers he was posting, I mean, he's averaging 27 points a game, almost 28 points a game.
Right.
You know, you just don't see that at the quarterback position on a regular basis. So that's why, and again, you said it, we're never drafting quarterbacks early. So right. For me, at 324 in the draft, that's pretty early for me. It's very early for me.
No, I get that. Yeah. I will also say, you know, part of what made Lamar so great for fantasy last year, not only was it the production, but it's where you got him, right? Because you drafted him in double-digit rounds, mm-hmm. and he ends up being, you know, the number one quarterback by a long shot. You're just not going to get nearly the same kind of value. And I think what's going to happen, especially, you're right, if people are taking him second round, third round, and he ends up as like the QB 4 or 5, people are going to be upset. People are going to wonder, like, what happened? What went wrong? And in reality, nothing. He still had a really good year.
Yep.
You just didn't get nearly the kind of value for him.
It's just very, it's so hard to duplicate numbers that are that amazing in a back-to-back season basis. So,
yeah. You got Travis Kelce, 9th pick in the 3rd round. You got George Kittle, 9th pick in the 4th round. I was kind of surprised to see them last that long, just knowing how top-heavy the tight end position is. I don't know. I feel like they're going to be another set of guys who go off a lot earlier right now.
I think that too. Like, Kelce will probably ended up drafted in the beginning of the 3rd round, end of the 2nd round. And Kittle could end up, you know, being a 3rd round pick. You know me, bro. I don't like to draft tight ends super early. It's not dislike quarterbacks. There's going to be tight ends that I feel like if I can get a tight end somewhere between round 6 and 8, that's the sweet spot for me. And I could potentially get a guy like Hunter Henry in that spot. Mm-hmm. And if I wait a little longer, I may even be able to get Evan Engram. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I'd rather go with the running back and wide receiver positions in those rounds and wait on a tight end. So for Kelce being a 3rd round pick and Kittle, that's about as high as I'm going to go for him, to be quite honest with you. And I know they're great, and they are massive assets for fantasy owners, because in most cases they're going to be much better than the tight end you're facing on a week-to-week basis in fantasy leagues. But I'd rather keep my focus on running backs and wide receivers. And then in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th round, depending on what's available, then I'm going to go after my tight end. And hell, I mean, there were leagues last season where I didn't get a tight end until very late. And even though the tight end position is, well, been a headache for us over the last couple of seasons, think about the young guys, Noah Fant, TJ mm-hmm. Hockenson. They should take the next step. Dallas Goedert has seen an increase in his fantasy value as well. So there are some younger guys in there that could potentially make an impact. We talked about Hayden Hurst. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being a top 12 fantasy tight end in 2020 because of the opportunities that he could potentially see in Atlanta. So maybe I'm devaluing those guys a little bit because I devalue the position as a whole. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Kelce's probably going to end up being a late second, early 3rd round pick, and Kittle probably going to sneak into the 3rd round. For me, I'd rather just wait on that position.
Did you give any thought to you've got Kelce ahead of Kittle still. Is that just because of the quarterbacks? Because Mahomes is obviously a lot better than Garoppolo.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. I mean, Kittle did close the gap a little bit. Last year, they averaged the same amount of fantasy points per game at just under 16 per game.
Right.
So they're a, you know, 1-1A. But I mean, Kelce is, I mean, he's been the best tight end in fantasy football for, what, 4 straight years? Mm-hmm. Since 2016, he's got the most catches, the most receiving yards, the most touchdowns, the most fantasy points at the position. He's not an old dude. He's not a guy who lacks durability. So I gave him the nod out of respect because he's just been that good. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes, duh. Right. I mean, come on. Yeah.
All right. So then who are the guys? Because like I was going through there and like just checking the names, you know, like Melvin Gordon is a 5th round guy. I think Lev Bell you had in the 5th round. Any surprising names or people you think that would be surprising that just missed out on your, because basically your top 50 is what it is. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, keep in mind too, it's basically like every spot in the draft. It's not like a traditional top 50 because every spot in the draft is a team. So team one is not going to draft Lamar Jackson in the 3rd round and then Patrick Mahomes in the 4th round, you know? Right. So like, I guess some of the names that, you know, didn't make the cut, Zach Ertz is not in the top 50. T.Y. Hilton's not in the top 50. Kyler Murray is not in the top 50, right? Kyler Murray is going to be, he's going to be close.
Right.
Right. He's going to be close. Kyler Murray, especially his value is certainly moving on up, but then you know, Mark Andrews didn't get into the top 50 either. Mm-hmm. But then you're getting into that spot. As I look at my list right now, there's going to be some interesting players. Like I have Marlon Mack in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to last as a late 5th round pick. I don't know what the Colts are going to do at running back. Maybe they stand pat and he'll remain there because the opportunities are going to be there. Like Kerryon Johnson, remember, he was a top 50 pick last year. And now because of the injuries, you're like, do I really want? Is Darrell Henderson going to end up moving up? He's not in the top 50 because I feel like the Rams are going to draft somebody, but are the Rams going to draft somebody who's going to make as big of an impact, you know, as people projected him to make as a rookie?
Mm-hmm.
Time will tell there. So
yeah, I will say this, like, because guys like I was big on Kerryon Johnson last year. I was drafting him in the 3rd round and pretty much everywhere I could. Obviously, the injuries took that apart. Marlon Mack is another guy that I was big on, and I think I'm willing to double down on Marlon Mack this year just because I think if Philip Rivers can at least push the ball downfield. Part of it was just that, you know, Jacoby Brissett was not pushing the ball downfield, and that allowed defenses to just sort of creep up and just really compacted the field, and that made things hard on Mack. If they can stretch the field at least a little bit, I think Mack has a much better season. So I'm willing to kind of double down on Marlon Mack and think that maybe Philip Rivers there changes some things.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Marlon Mack's a young guy, and there were some other players too, like Devin Singletary. He made that 5th round. DJ Chark made it. There's certain players. Devontae Parker. And I'll tell you this, Devontae Parker. You want to talk about the magical season, Marcus?
That was like, absolutely it.
I feel like Devontae Parker, and I have him as a 5th round pick, and based on what he was doing in the second half of the season, you would think he'd be a top 30 pick. I'm a little worried about him. Like I just feel like, and we've seen this in the past with players, when a guy has a tremendous second half of the season and the expectations go up for him the following campaign, a lot of times they don't meet expectations.
Right.
You know, we've seen that at like the running back position. How many, like, I mean, I'll go back to Alex Collins, okay, for example. Alex Collins was like a legitimate top 50 pick after he had a good second half of the season before, and he was a total bust.
Yep.
So, like, I feel like people have to, okay, he was good. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, is he going to be the starter 16 games there? Are they going to draft Tua? What's going to happen? I mean, all these things are TBD.
Well, the other part of Preston Devontae Parker is Preston Williams too. Remember, Preston Williams was playing really, really well last year. Yes. Tore his ACL, and then things really opened up because Miami didn't have a whole lot of other options to throw the football to. If Williams is back, then a lot of those targets start to go away, and that's a big thing that I'd be worried about as well.
They should be better offensively. Mike Gesicki is going to see more targets as well. We started to see him sort of show some flashes towards the end, but especially with Parker, where his efficiency is, to me, unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for half a season in 2019. He was ridiculous. He was one of the best waiver wire ads in fantasy football. Can he do that over a full season? He's never been able to do that before. That's why I'm like, 5th round, okay. I'm not going any higher than that.
Right,
I even have James Conner in there now. But James Conner is a prime candidate to drop out of that top 50 out of those first 5 rounds, depending on what the Steelers do in the draft.
Yeah. Well, we got plenty of time to talk about this. I'm sure people will move around, especially as more mock drafts start to happen. And then once we get to the actual NFL draft, that will change things as well. So I'm sure we'll talk about this again at some point in the future. So before we get out of here, I always like to try to do something fun to kind of help us get through our social distancing, physical distancing, whatever you want to call it, situation. So a couple of weeks ago, I tweeted one night, just kind of soliciting recipes because we're all going to be locked at home for a while. I know eating out is certainly recommended. Try to keep your local restaurants sustainable and going and keep those folks employed as much as possible. But it also means you have to cook a whole lot. So I put out a solicitation for recipes, got a lot back. And maybe I'll resurface it again today once we drop this pod so people can kind of catch up on that. But I did beg the question, have you guys cooked anything interesting? Fabs, I know especially you like to cook. Eddie, I think you do as well. Anything interesting that you've come across or any just staples that now you're leaning a little bit more heavily on since we can't go out to eat anymore?
I'm grilling like crazy. So, like, you know, I'm doing barbecue chicken with some A1 sauce mixed in there. I've also been doing so in the area where I live, there are fruit trees everywhere, all over the place. So when I'm walking my dog and there's a tree that's not on somebody's property, I may go pick a few, you know, pick a few lemons, something like that. And then you bring the lemons home, you put them in the juicer, you add a little pepper, that kind of thing. You put it in a bag, you marinate it, whatever it is, the chicken, you throw it on the grill. That's pretty good too. So, but yeah, most of the stuff I've been doing is grilling. And then, you know, there's the stuff that you sort of like put together where you chop up some whatever it is. Maybe it's chicken breast, beef, whatever the case may be. Throw in some peppers, some onions, that kind of thing. Almost do like fajitas. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna go out there and be cooking 5-course, you know, meals at this point. But those are the things I keep it easy. Let's put it that way, you know. But that grill, man, thank God for that grill. I hope Home Depot doesn't run out of propane tanks anytime soon.
I've noticed at the store that I know, Marcus, you mentioned off air that you're going to try to do a grocery store run later today, and you noticed that I'm not sure if it's because people think they have to just load up on frozen food, but a lot of the produce, a lot of like the fresh meat, there's a lot more of it, and I think the prices have been marked down. So I've been making a killing of like grabbing like, oh, I want to have this cut of steak tonight, like stuff I would never buy because it's cost you, you know, let's just say $25 a cut of steak, but now they're half that or whatever. Like you can't pass up a ribeye or a New York strip, whatever it may be. So I've definitely been cooking like more steak and more stuff that I never would normally get. And then same thing for vegetables too, just because you have so many more options there. Like sometimes you go to the store and you see there's like only like a handful of, you know, bundles of asparagus left. They look kind of gross. You're like, I'll just skip it. But now it's all there. And same goes for fruit too. And it's just little things like, now that we have more time, since you're staying at home and you're not commuting or you're not, you know, busy doing other errands and stuff, you're here. So, you know, say for example, you want to cook like ground turkey when I like, instead of me just like smashing it together and throwing it on a pan and making like a turkey burger, it's like, all right, well now I could do like maybe ground turkey tacos, and you're just like seasoning the meat differently, and you're getting a bunch of the fresh vegetables I spoke about and chopping those up and putting them in a whole wheat wrap. It just little things like that you normally just don't cook because you want to save time and you're kind of like speed rushing through it. Now you're like, well, I have a bunch of time, so I could cook those kind of tacos, or I could let a steak marinate for, you know, a few hours and throw it on the pan and put it in the oven. And it's in a weird way, like the cooking has been a lot better during this time because you have more time with it and you like care more about it. You want to make a better meal since you're sitting at home and you want to kind of enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. No, it's been fun to kind of experiment with stuff. I went out just before everybody started getting locked down. I went to Costco and I bought a ton of meat. So I have a freezer full of meat and kind of thaw things out and kind of do some things. I think I pubbed this on Twitter. Like I will just say I'm not getting any kickbacks from this. The website supercook.com, which is great because you just take all the ingredients you have in your kitchen, like literally everything, meats, vegetables, fruits, spices, everything. You put in all the things you have in your kitchen and it will kick back a whole bunch of recipes that you can just make.
What? Right. That's awesome. That is the best recommendation I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, it's great. So you just plug in everything. And so like some days I'll look and I'll be like, I got this ground beef. What am I going to do with it? And so I'll just, you know, you pick, you know, what key ingredient do you want to use? And I'll just pick ground beef and it'll like give me a whole bunch of ground beef recipes. It'll give me chicken or like whatever vegetable. If I want to use spinach, whatever. So that has been great. That has, you know, it's let me be a little more creative, so I'm not making the same four things all the time. That has been huge. So yeah, check it out. Supercook.com.
Look at what we got here.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Kylo.
Kylo. Oh, he just walked out. He's camera shy, man. He didn't want to be. Actually, Kylo was on NFL Network a few weeks ago.
This is the other part of this new world, right? Because like we're getting to see people's homes and kids and pets and you know, all this kind of stuff. Because
I know,
you know, like we're all at home now, so that's been fun.
Yeah, but we're all better cooks. Exactly.
We're all definitely better cooks. Definitely.
So. Or we all have practice at being bad at it, you know.
We will get better, right? Because we got time to practice. Like Eddie said, we got time now.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid doing the carbs thing, man. Because like I mean, I'm Italian. I haven't had pizza. I haven't had pizza since this whole thing happened.
Wow.
And I'm trying to avoid that, and you know, pasta and stuff. But
more right power to you.
I mean, like, yeah, I got. I mean, I'm Italian. I got to have that kind of stuff.
I've been avoiding
that as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I know we mentioned like you want to help support local. So certain days, especially if I go for like I've been doing like longer walks and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this place is still open. Like, oh, they're a staple of the neighborhood. Yep. Like, I should probably go in there and get something. And it's like maybe what I'm getting is not the healthiest, but it's like, oh, but you don't feel as guilty about it because you're helping out a nice you know, mom and pop shop or something, and it's and then you know you get finished with your meal and you're like, oh, that probably wasn't the healthiest, but you know, whatever, it's a noble deed, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's important if you can do it to get get out there and order to go or pick it up, you know, that kind of thing, because but so many people are, you know, in trouble right now.
Have you thought about where you're going to eat, like when this is over? Like, have you thought about a restaurant you're going to go back and like go eat?
100%. I thought about this. I think a week ago, I just yelled out to my girlfriend. I was like, "We're going to do Korean barbecue. I want to go in person. I want to like throw the meat in the grill. I want to do the whole experience. That has to be the one. I think it's the most like interactive and it's the most fun doing in person. Pretty much all the food I'm eating, I could eat at a restaurant or I could eat at home. Korean barbecue really can't do at home as well. So I think that's my choice.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about just going to a Mexican restaurant and just getting a big fat plate of like enchiladas with like beans and rice or something like that. But some Korean barbecue sounds pretty awesome.
See, for me, like, have you guys been to the Warehouse in Marina del Rey?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They've shot a lot of movies there. They shot they actually shot Arrested Development there. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of movies that they've shot there. There's another one too, and I can't remember the name of it. But Dead to Me. They shot a scene from Dead to Me. That show with
Christina Applegate,
Kelly Bundy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to go there just because the food's good, but it's freaking beautiful, man. Like you're right on the water, and like I'm tired of looking at the same crap every single day. Like, you know, it's just like I want to go and see some boats and relax and that kind of thing. So that, yeah, you guys are right. You definitely have like a list of restaurants where you're
right. Just like this places
thing is up, and I feel like the restaurant business, boy, that's going to boom once this thing ends because everyone's going to want to get the hell out of their houses.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, yeah. Man. All right. Just a little bit of something to get you through the day. Like I said, I will resurface that that thread in case, because I got a lot of people like putting in some really good recipes, some really good things they're cooking. So, you know, if we can all inspire each other to maybe cook something different, then, you know, at least we get something out of it. So
sounds good.
All right, there you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you downloading and listening and watching our video clips as well. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, you didn't trip and fall. You attacked the floor. Take care of yourselves. We will see you on Thursday.